But in the Washington, D.C. area, we have Colonel Bob McGinnis. He's an advisor to the Defense Department. And by the way, as soon as we get finished with this broadcast, he's off and on his way to Europe. Bob, business or pleasure this time?
Well, it's business again, Jimmy, I spent a lot of time in Germany. I'm back over there again.
And you don't have much time for pleasure nowadays, do you?
Not really. It's a everyday work, and then I have to head back home so I can, if I'm going to do any playing, it's going to be on this side of the Atlantic.
And some getting some rest as well. Well, journey's mercies to you. Thank you for being available just before you leave. And by the way, Bob was seen on the Fox News channel within the last hour. We appreciate him being available to us at this time. You can see Bob on many of the television outlets. Fox News, most of the time, will want to talk with Colonel Bob McGinnis about many of the subjects that we bring to the table for our discussions as well. Let's talk about that which has been basically at the front of the news throughout the entire week. It's the situation there at Fort Hood, and they have finally charged the man. Now, they're going to do this as a court-martial. Is that what I understand, Bob?
That's certainly the intent, I believe, at this point, Jimmy. But keep in mind, the U.S. military has not put anyone to death since 1961. So there's a chance that it will be taken over by civil authorities in Texas, which, of course, has a very different record with regard to capital crime.
Let me ask, how does that work out, Bob? How do they determine whether it will be under the civil court or under military court?
It's a matter of jurisdiction. In this particular case, the military, I think, hands down, has jurisdiction. It took place among soldiers on a Army facility. So the military would have jurisdiction on a case of murder or homicide. Now, they could, though, and if the local jurisdiction wanted to assume jurisdiction, they could turn it over to them. And it could become a federal case if, in fact, they wanted to turn it over to the federal courts and they wanted the jurisdiction, they could do that. It's really a call by the military and if the local people would like to have the case.
Bob, I've got to bring this to your attention. General Casey, on some of the weekend programs, the news programs last weekend, made a statement that it would be a greater tragedy if indeed what happened as a result of this horrendous act of murder there at Fort Hood was to start tearing apart the diversity of the military. Now, many people are complaining about that statement. Was that an appropriate statement for the commanding officer of the United States Army to make?
It is an interesting statement, and you know, I haven't seen a clarification on it, Jimmy. I know that the military takes great pride in the fact that it's colorblind and blind to other differences amongst people. I suspect, to a certain degree, that's what he was talking about. But I don't think that General Casey had any intent of communicating that we're going to tolerate radicalism as evidenced by this particular killer.
And is there any statements being made by the military, to your knowledge, recognizing that this was a terrorist attack? Or are they using that terminology? Are they taking a hard line like some of the news media are?
I haven't seen a statement that says that this was a terrorist attack. Of course, at least from the military. That doesn't mean that people inside the military, which I serve with all the time, have that belief that it was indeed a terrorist attack and that we should treat it accordingly.
Yes. And I just got to ask, in connection with the Fort Hood situation, I read a report that in Afghanistan, the Taliban was celebrating what happened at Fort Hood, encouraging more of this type of thing to happen. Is that a pretty correct report?
Well, it's certainly what was on the website for the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. They made a very clear statement that they thought that this major at Fort Hood was a hero to them, that with his Palestinian origin, that he was fighting the fight for Allah. So it's a disappointing evidence that is out there, but in fact, that's what I saw.
What about President Obama, his trip now? We're changing the subject, doing another direction here on the broadcast. President Obama out in Asia, first stop was Tokyo, Japan, going into China. I know you're indeed a China watcher. Is this a very important trip that the president is making?
Well, it certainly is important because of trade with China. I think that's primarily his focus. He's described China as a vital partner, but also as a competitor in terms of economic issues. There is clearly an economic imbalance where the United States tends to be, you know, a major consumer, and China has been very aggressive in exporting cheap goods to us. And as a result, our trade imbalance is really out of whack, and that is, of course, not helping our unemployment problem over here and our deficit spending. So the president is trying to address that, amongst other issues, as he not only travels through Japan, but goes down to Singapore for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, and then back to China, where he'll visit Beijing.
Yes, this is a very important trip for our president. There was a very important meeting that took place earlier this week, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel meeting at the White House with President Obama. Quite an extended meeting, and then there has been no comment, basically, no press conference held after the meeting. What do you make out of that, Bob?
Well, not only was it a no press conference, no press was invited, it was a late call for the meeting. Netanyahu had been on the ground at Andrews Air Force Base before the White House announced or even invited him over to talk to the president. So this seems to be, I think, a backhand against the Israeli prime minister. And in fact, I think it suggests a failed Middle East policy on the part of the Obama administration.
Very interesting comments. And I think that's a pretty good observation of what is taking place. I did hear some comments being made that basically they agreed together, both the United States and Israel, their leaders at least, agreeing pretty much right now on the approach to Iran. Did you hear anything along that line?
There's certainly a lot of back and forth on that. They agree that we haven't been successful at persuading Iran to abandon its nuclear program. Diplomacy has fallen on its back. Sanctions may be in the future if we can persuade the Russians and the Chinese to go along, and we're trying to bribe the Russians as it is. Given that, I think that the recent exercise there in Israel with United States Army forces and other forces with the Navy offshore is what they were talking about in terms of security cooperation guarantees that the president gave Netanyahu. So the Iranian issue is not going well at all, but there is also the discussion, I think, on the side, and which is evidenced by Netanyahu's departure from the U.S. and went right to Paris with regard to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to buy the Syrians off
right,
so they can, I suppose, sideline Hezbollah, and there's evidence that the Syrians are cooperating with Israel because of the ship that was captured in the Eastern Med, loaded down with Iranian rockets for Hezbollah. So all these pieces are coming together to suggest that there is cooperation, there is momentum, but it doesn't look as if the president is making a lot of progress on what he intended to do based upon his campaign speeches last fall.
And based upon what you have just said, Netanyahu trying to change the focus on the peace process from the Palestinians to the Syrians. Be talking with David Dolan a bit more about that, and Ronnie Levy, who was an advisor to the Prime Minister's office. We'll get more into that discussion in just a few moments. In Berlin, they celebrated the 20th anniversary of the demise of the Berlin Wall. That's a pretty significant event in history, at least.
Oh, it certainly is, and I was disappointed that our president didn't go over there. As, you know, clearly, you had the Berlin Wall fell because we had great leaders like Ronald Reagan and others that, you know, had a vision, like Margaret Thatcher of Great Britain, and understood the consequences of how to deal with a rogue like the Soviet Union. But it was noted that you know, Secretary of State Clinton was there, but she didn't say all the right things, which is disappointing to me about, you know, how our great sacrifice and the leadership of our nation at that particular time. it continues, though, to be a troubled time in that, you know, as we look to the east, we begin to see the pressure that the reemergent Russia is having on countries like Ukraine and Georgia and putting pressure elsewhere. So a lot to celebrate, but at the same time, there's a warning out there that that bear may rise again.
Yes, and Colonel Bob McGinnis off to Germany, a little bit late for the celebration there in Berlin, but indeed going to be a busy week as far as he's concerned for his day job there at the Pentagon. Well, Bob, have Journey's Mercies as you travel. We'll try to make contact with you while you're there in Germany, and we'll stay on top of geopolitical activities with you wherever we can find you around this world.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.